Oh, so good to see you all today. It's been a really hot summer, and then all of a sudden, we have snow on Mount McLaughlin. Can you believe that? If you saw that, I just couldn't believe it when I saw that. Well, I've been really looking forward to today, and Perry and Peggy Atkinson have really been friends to our church over the years. We have so appreciated their ministry, and they've just been a real encouragement to us. And I need to say that they've been an encouragement to me in these last days that we have had here. Every once in a while, I'll get an email from Perry just encouraging me, and I just appreciate it so much. He's such a busy guy that he would do something like that. And so... Perry is president of K-Dove Radio. Of course, you hear him on there all the time. He's got all kinds of shows on there. I'm always amazed at the quality of people that they are able to get on there. And so he's just a blessing and has been a blessing to this valley. And so, Perry, there you are. I was looking around for you. Let's welcome Perry this morning.
Morning. Good. Well, it's quite an honor for me to be here. I know that Roger tries to schedule me usually around the 4th of July. A little late this year, but it's always an honor to be here. And I just want to say how blessed our community is for Bethel Church. I remember clear back down when you're on McAndrews, and of course with Pastor Hill and Pastor Tim through the years. And your steadfast commitment to biblical excellence and impacting our community with the gospel. I just want to say to the church, and I know the board and elders during this time, that you've had unbelievable challenges, but you've stayed steady and your witness is bright. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you've done and what you continue. Give yourself a hand. I see that you're doing baptisms after the service. A couple of weeks ago, I had one of the most honoring things I've ever done. I got to baptize somebody in the Rogue River up at Paradise Lodge. And you talk about a thrill. And, of course, my key in baptism is I hold them down until there's no more bubbles. I want to make sure they're converted, you know. But right after we baptized this very special friend of ours, we had some other people on the shore watching, and I just kind of flippantly said, does anybody else want to be baptized? And this young 17-year-old girl jumped in the water and said, would you baptize me? And I was a little taken by it because I hadn't talked to her about it or anything else. So we're standing out in the middle of the Rogue River and rafters are going by. We're up there on the wild and scenic. And I'm kind of interviewing her, standing in the water, to make sure this was all right. And sure enough, a young teenager with unbelievable things going on in her life realized that she needed Jesus. And we baptized her in the Rogue River, so it was kind of cool. It kind of fits with what I want to share with you this morning, so let's pray. Lord, today we come before you recognizing that it's not us, it's you. It's not what I have to say, it's what you have to say through what you've given me to share today. And so we pray for your blessing upon the word, and we pray, Lord, that you would take this thought that you have dropped into my heart and drop it into the hearts of your people and do what only you can do with it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I have one scripture for you today, so I don't want to get too wrapped up. I think we have it on the screen. One scripture. If the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's taken out of Psalm 113, verse 3. There's no doubt that we're living in very interesting times. You probably have noticed that everybody has an opinion about everything. And I want to be very careful to stay spiritually on track and base my comments this morning because opinions are everywhere. Remember, God called us to be salt and light. He didn't call us to be red or blue, donkeys or elephants. And most people of faith will agree that we are in a spiritual crisis in America. We're in a spiritual crisis, perhaps even in your own life. George Barna, who is perhaps the most quoted Christian apologist in the world today, and for some fortunate reason, he and I have become pretty good friends, and I have him on the program quite often. And a week ago Friday, I had him on the air just as he completed an article. And the article said this, that only 10% of Americans consider themselves evangelical. 10%. Now, that's a far drop from where it's been in the years gone by. The study also confirms that around one-third of those evangelicals do not participate in elections, which means the voices of evangelicals may be missing by the millions in this upcoming election cycle. This past May, Oregon's primary had a turnout of only 39%. Research indicates that over 800,000 Republicans did not vote this past May. So in the scripture, we are told to be as wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Now, I heard a sermon one time preached on this, and I don't know if I really agreed with it, but it basically said this, think like a snake, act like a dove. The critical time in the life of our nation is no time for Christians to tune out. If we relinquish our responsibilities to help steward this nation that we call home, conflicting and opposing values will prevail in civic life. As the saying goes, you may not have an interest in politics, but politics has an interest in you. You may not have an interest in politics, but politics has an interest in you. If they can make it so disgusting and so angry and so mean and so upside down that where you check out and don't vote, they win. Disinterested, disengagement, disconnections by people of God will not help lead our nation back to God. James Madison, our fourth president of the United States, he authored 29 of the 85 Federalist Papers. He introduced the Bill of Rights in the first Congress of the United States. And in that, he addressed religious freedom as the first item. He was a devoted Christian to Jesus Christ. He was the chief architect of the Constitution. He spoke 161 times at the Constitutional Convention, and he recognized the biblical foundations of America's government and our God-given rights. And he said this when it was all over. It is universally admitted that a well-instructed people alone can be permanently a free people. When basic civics and U.S. history has been left out of our learning process, we are now dangerously close of losing our freedoms. Religious persecutions are at an all-time high around the world. And we too here in the United States are facing something that we never thought would be true. But let me say this as a little bit of encouragement. The underground church of the Christian faith around the world is growing in leaps and bounds. Persecution can be purifying. Just this week, 55,000 mosques closed in Iran because of a Christian outcry. 55,000 mosques closed in Iran because of an outcry. They only have a total of 85,000. In China, in spite of the fact that China took over Hong Kong and closed it down, the revival that we found when we got into China a few years ago is alive and well. Today, friends, in China, 11 million people read our devotion. Today, in China, 11 million. I had a report on the news Friday that Nicaragua now has taken a turn for the worst. 1,500 churches were closed over midnight, and thousands of nonprofit organizations were denied their existence and their licensing. Russia has an underground outbreak. Even in North Korea, as bad as it is, there's an underground outbreak. And the Abrahamic Accord in the Middle East is not only holding, but we're finding out now that young people and young men are waking up in the middle of the night with a vision of Jesus Christ and instantly knowing the Son of God and the Savior of the world. But they instantly know that that conversion will most likely cost them their family and possibly their life. And these reports are being reported left and right. When your faith is challenged, you begin to ask serious questions about what you believe, and is your faith really the core of your existence? I often ask these three questions on the air. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? And can you gracefully defend it? And let me add one more that I thought I would never ask in America. Are you willing to die for it? So there's really no need for me to give you a rundown of all the problems and the challenges that we face as a nation, maybe as believers and as individuals. But the question is this. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I've been in Christian broadcasting for over 45 years, and I can tell you that I have never seen the response to our programming like we're seeing it today. Media provides an opportunity for people to tune in privately and listen and watch and think. And here are some of the questions that we're getting just recently over the last year with the upside-down crazy culture in which we live. A simple question. Is there really a God? Does he really love me? Is there really a heaven? Is the Bible true? Can I really be forgiven for my past? Of course, we believers in Christ know the answer to that is yes. In the book of Hebrews, there's quite an extensive chapter dealing with things changing. And let me just summarize that chapter in Hebrews. It talks about everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Until the relationship between you and God cannot be shaken. He's going to shake your health. He's going to shake your finances. He's going to shake your relationships. He's going to shake your church. He's going to shake your theology. He's going to shake your country. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken until you realize that you need God more than you need your next breath. Now, I don't have any tricks in this box. I just have some things in here. I want to show you something. I brought these this morning to show you something. These are prayer requests that have come into the Dove just recently. These are the ones that are sent by mail. These are not the ones that we get off our website and emails. And it represents something that ought to shake us to the core. These people life are being shaken hard. And there's a good probability that you have a prayer request in there yourself. If we are to be totally honest with ourselves this morning, every one of you is facing something. You have a deep concern. You have a burden. you have a hurt. You too are being shaken. It's keeping you up at night. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? So let me narrow the question down. What can you do? And what will you do? The scripture is pretty plain when it comes to dealing with evil. And today, much of what we're dealing with, believe it or not, is just pure evil. Now, those of us who are of the charismatic persuasion, such as myself and my wife and others and all of you, we have dealt with evil things in prayer times. I have seen demons being casted out of people. But whoever thought that we would be reading Bible prophecy the way we're reading it in America today? And let me just tell you, friends, what we're dealing with is sheer evil. Isaiah 5:20 says this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Whoever thought we would be looking at what we're looking at today, that everything that seems to be normal, moral, righteous, has been turned on its head? It is nonsense. It is crazy. And the attack on biblical morality is just pure evil. And before we just kid ourselves and think it's a bad day and it's going to go away, whoever thought that we'd be reading the Old Testament prophecy and it would be unfolding in front of us today the way we're experiencing it? This is serious business. Your life is at stake, your children's life are at stake, and your grandchildren's life are at stake. There are two things that are standing in the way of our country from going totally Marxist and communism. Just two things. One is the Constitution of the United States, and the other is the Christian faith. We are the ones that are standing in the way from total craziness. And this is no time to run and hide. The Bible says in Romans 12, "Do not be overcome evil by evil." It goes on to say, overcome evil with good. I want to emphasize that one more time because in here is a problem. Do not overcome evil by being evil. Overcome evil by doing good. Things are so ratcheted up today that if you're not careful, you are automatically drawn into the argument by sheer frustration. And if you're not careful, you'll end up acting and talking like the evil ones yourself because you are upset. And let me tell you this, you have every right to be upset. It's against everything that you are and everything that you believe. But the scripture says, overcome evil with good. All these prayer requests are saying someone needs help. Will somebody just listen to me? Your family needs you. Your friends need you. Your coworkers need you. And the best way you can fight back from evil in this crazy, nonsensical culture is to start helping people around you. Start serving one another. You can call or text someone every day and tell them that you're praying for them. I sent somebody a text that I haven't thought about for years, and I just sent him a text and said, I thought about you this morning and said a prayer. 10 minutes later, my phone rang. I haven't talked to that person for years. And said that morning, they were asking God for confirmation if he still loved him. And my text did that for them. Your text can do that for somebody too. Take someone to coffee this week. Send them a card. Invite them over for dinner. I want to tell you about a story of a pastor, the practice at that church is that during the closing songs, the pastor would leave the platform and go to the door and greet people on their way out. And as he's standing out there greeting people, this lady came up to him, and he said, "Well, Sister Susie, good to see you. How you doing?" And she just began to fall apart. She said, "Oh, Pastor, this is crazy. I can't handle this. I got this problem. I got that problem. I got my kids are going crazy. The finances are tough." And she just unloaded on the pastor on the steps of the church. And he thought for a moment, and he said, "Well, Sister Susie, come into my office." So they went into his office, and they sat down. And he took a piece of paper, and as she was continuing to spill out her heart, he was writing some things down. And when she got done, he said, "Okay, Sister Susie, here's what I want you to do. This week, I want you to bake some cookies and take them to the youth shelter. I want you to bake a cake and take it over to the gospel mission the next day. And a couple days later, I want you to sit down and make a pie and take it to the senior center." Well, the next week came, and the church was over, and there was the pastor on the steps, and here comes Sister Susie. And he said, "Well, Sister Susie, how are you doing? How's it going? How's your breakdown coming?" She said, "I had to cancel the breakdown because I am too busy. Today, when I get done here, I'm serving lunch at the shut-ins for some friends of mine, and I'm taking my favorite girlfriend for a walk in the park." Had to cancel the breakdown. My friends, the best thing you can do to combat this nonsense is to overcome with God's love and care. God put you here to do His work. He put the Holy Spirit in you to go love somebody. God wants to love through you. God wants to talk through you. God wants to heal through you. Go volunteer to babysit for a couple that needs a break. Run an errand for someone. Take a meal to a shut-in. Help someone with a doctor's appointment. Go read the Bible to somebody. Drive someone to the store. We will overcome evil with good. And the Bible says we will be known for the love that we have for one another, not whether we are red or blue or a donkey or an elephant. We will be known for our love for one another. And if there's ever a time for the church to stand up and share God's love in the face of unbelievable opposition, today is that day. Every believer is looking for someone to care. Even the non-believers are beginning to sense something is seriously wrong. I get calls from people that have never darkened a church door. You know what they're asking? "Is this Jesus really coming again? Is this it? Is this the end of the world?" Even the non-believers sense that something is drastically out of control. And the mess that we're in is primarily man trying to be God, instead of us asking God to help us. There's a time not only to stand up and push back on the culture and the craziness, but to reach out and to serve people. Wokeness, inflation, the border, the war in the Middle East, energy prices, the cost of a loaf of bread, all of this has us on edge, and rightfully so. And it has also provided the most unbelievable opportunity for us to share God's love. I do a lot of research in what we do in broadcasting because for various reasons. Programming, time spent listening, attention span, all of that. It's certainly changed since the digital world has hit us. But recently there was a study that targeted the main demographic in America. And the main demographic in America, if you watch television, listen to ads, you'll probably understand this. But the number one demographic in America is a woman, 35-54. Now, the research does show a little bit younger, and certainly shows a little bit older has the same concerns, especially grandparents. Why is this demographic so important? Because that group of women influenced 63% of the daily commerce in the United States. The price of food, gas, vacations, schools, household budgets, children, activities. That woman, 35-54, influencing 63% of the daily commerce because of the basic things of just doing life. And she speaks into it. Now, women, that was a great time for you to say amen. You missed it. But when you study this research and you look at it a little bit further down, all of their concerns boil down to two words, just two words, safety and security. At the end of the day, they want to feel safe. They want their family safe. Are their children safe at school? Are their children safe just walking down the street at the playground? Is their husband safe at work? Is their family secure? And is their family's future secure? The culture has safety and security and their foundation shaken and upside down. And the only thing they want to feel is safe and secure. Now, I'm going to let that resonate for a moment because I think every one of you in here want to feel safe and secure. So, what do we do? I read something the other day, changed my thinking, and it has to do with a piece of bread. Not the price of bread, that changes your thinking too, but a piece of bread. At the end of World War II, there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of children put in large camps and orphanages. And not knowing if they'll ever see their family again, a lot of their siblings were killed. A lot of their parents were killed. And they were put in these camps and these orphanages were having a hard time trying to get these children to sleep at night. They were crying, they were fidgety, they had nightmares, some couldn't sleep, some couldn't even lay in a bed. And so finally a psychologist came up one time and he said, try this, give each child a slice of bread, not to eat, but to hold in their hand while they go to bed. And they found out that every one of those children slept that night. Why? Clutching that bread gave them a sense of protection. They were safe. Clutching that bread gave them a sense of importance. Someone cared for them. Clutching that bread gave them happiness because there was going to be bread tomorrow. My question to you today, in overcoming evil with good, and what will the righteous do, is a question. Can God use you to be a slice of bread in somebody's life? You can not only share your faith, but you can show it by serving others. Let me challenge you to step out of your comfort zone and to cancel your nervous breakdown and give yourself to others. It's been said that after you come to Christ and you're settled in your faith, your mission then should become to burn yourself out serving others. So my challenge to you today, no matter what you're facing, go out of your way and serve somebody this week. Take donuts to the office tomorrow. Invite a neighbor over for coffee. Try it. It will change your life. It will lower your blood pressure. It'll take away your cynical attitude. And it'll put a smile on God's face. Let us pray. So today, Lord, we are faced with many challenges. And we are all carrying burdens that we thought we'd never be carrying. And yet, Lord, if we're not careful, we miss the very thing that you put in front of us to do, and that's to care for one another. You have kept your hand on this church, even during some challenges, for a very specific time. And through this congregation, you can change Southern Oregon by having them reach out of their own and reach into life to someone else and overcome evil with good, to set aside their agendas, their sorrows, their heartache, their heartaches, their problems, and to become a slice of bread and bringing hope and safety and security and hope for tomorrow. Bless this congregation and bless these people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.